University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us today on this very, very important issue-oriented broadcast. We're talking about an issue today that I believe everyone should hear, heed, and share with others. In fact, I would invite you, if you've not done so, go online, fcbcatjax.com. That's fcbcatjax.com. Scroll down to the bookstore and place your order for the book, Is Islam Tolerant? 25 chapters, about 300 pages, a little better long, that I had the privilege of investing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and may I say again, hundreds of hours in research and the preparation based on Islamic documents, based on the Noble Quran, as it is called. And by the way, in the Noble Quran, that's the only Quran that the Islamic scholars use when they're teaching anything about Islam. And in that Quran, Surah 190, it says, "And fight in the way of Allah, who fights for you, but transgress not his limits." Truly, Allah likes not any transgressors. This verse is the first one revealed in connection with jihad, but it is supplemented by another surah, 9636. But here's what the scholars say about jihad. Holy jihad, fighting for Allah's cause in full force in numbers and weaponry, is given to the uttermost importance in Islam and is one of the pillars of the stand. Jihad, holy jihad, Islam is established. Allah's word is made superior. It further states, to participate in jihad in Allah's cause is required of every Muslim, and if not, they're considered a hypocrite. Ladies and gentlemen, so one of the things that I want us to understand among multitudes in relationship to it, we have today left-wing foundations that's bankrolling, looking at the headline, bankrolling the push to bring the Quran into the American churches. The Rockefeller-linked funding and grants for Communities Foundation in Texas are underwriting the campaign, all framed to fight against Islamophobia, as it's called. And it goes on to say that the Interfaith Alliance, backed by millions of foundation funding, public records show that the network has drawn support from major institutional players, including the Henry Lucy Foundation, which awarded $300,000 grant in 2025, with the Rockefeller Foundation Fund, collaborative with the Gender and Reproductive Equity Foundation in Texas in 2023. The Interfaith Alliance Foundation reported $2.87 million in revenue going to trying to push the Quran in the New Testament churches today. And I could go on and on and on with a 5-page article about that. So we're in very dangerous grounds today, and I'm saddened when I see professors at Georgetown University, when I see people like the Pope that's encouraging the embracing of Islam, when I see the Pope encouraging 1.4 billion, that's 1.4 billion around the globe, that's the latest number that I have of Roman Catholicism around the globe, and when we understand that in 2024, President Donald Trump received 24% of the Catholic vote, this Pope, U.S.-born Pope, is opposed to Donald Trump. Why? Because Trump closed the borders. Why? Because in the non-government organization, NGOs, Roman Catholicism receiving hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars out of the taxpayers' funds going into the pockets of the executives and the NGOs through the papacy run by the Catholic Church across America. And as a result of that, that stream of income has been chopped off. The Pope dislikes very much President Donald J. Trump. And I'm concerned when you have a person with that voice, with that position, that's looked at with wow, looked at with awe, looked at with respect, that's doing what he's doing and getting the following to be against Trump, to be against Israel, to be against the Jewish people, and to stand for the socialist, Marxist, communist perspective that the Pope happens to be, by the way. Now, Islam follows the lies compiled in the Quran. And the Quran, as I read just before the news break, is a assimilation of words and sayings that are pithy sayings that has nothing to do with the inspired word of God. Islam rejects the Trinity. Dr. Phelps, if Islam rejects the Trinity, they're objecting to and rejecting the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they say that Jesus was a good teacher, a good prophet, but Muhammad outdates Jesus, that Muhammad displaced Jesus and was one of the greater prophets. Tell us, tell our listeners what it connotes, what it means, what it alludes to. If Jesus Christ is not God, what does that do to all of Christianity?
Well, we believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God, and there are many passages in the scripture that talk about him. In fact, the book of John, called the Gospel of John, should be consulted when it talks about, or when we think about, or when we try to show people the truth, because that's the passage in the Bible that identifies the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The Bible begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God." And in that chapter, we're told that the Word was God. The Word, that as a word in our English language with a capital letter, is the name, or one of the names, of Christ. Mm-hmm. He is the living Word.
That's right.
And so, in John chapter 1, verses 1 and following, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word of life. And so it goes on to say that he was in the beginning with God. And that means that he is eternal God.
Eternal God. And if you're not looking at Jesus Christ as God, it's an impossibility to be saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross that we might say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I've been hearing a word bandied about on discussion boards there. Basically, it's Christian plus Islam equals Chrislam. I can't believe how these people are actually promoting this ideology. I got a question here real quick. Mr. Crundon sent me a short video from an individual, and he was talking about Revelation 24, or verse 4. Basically, it says, I'm just going to paraphrase here, it's about those who are beheaded for the Word and for Jesus Christ there. And this particular individual said that really the only religion in the entire world right now that actually calls for beheading is Islam, and that Revelation 24 is an actual a marker to say that you got to watch out for these guys. Here's what's going to happen from that revelation of John. I wanted you guys, your gentleman's opinion on that.
I don't know that you have the right verse. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones and those that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. You're right. Those that were beheaded. In fact, you can go back and look at what is happening during the days of the tribulation, and Revelation chapter 20 is the picture that we see of the millennial reign, and it's after the days of the tribulation when it wraps up with the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns and rules and reigns for 1,000 years, and those that's during the tribulation time that's literally beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, how is that possible? It's because the Antichrist, the lawless one, the one that is the Antichrist of Revelation 13, the one that is spoken of as the little horn in Daniel the 7th chapter, is that Antichrist Christ that is found in Daniel the 11th chapter, verse 31 through 42, that's an Islamic jihadist, homosexual, that is in charge. And during the days of the tribulation, everyone that says yes to Jesus will be beheaded, crucified, if you will, died on the cross in some fashion, or martyred for his faith. And every Jew that says yes to Jesus Christ will be beheaded as a result of it. And the only organizational structure on the face of the globe, past, present, and future, that did such deadly, dastardly deeds is Islam. Islam for 1,400 years, since Muhammad, has had the focus of causing the world to submit, be subdued by Islam. That's the goal. And by the way, Jim, we're witnessing Islam's increased if you please, domination and control in the world, Western Hemisphere, and in America in particular. We're witnessing that today, and part of the catalyst, part of the help, part of the enablement to do that is coming out of the Roman Catholic Church through the leadership of the popery system. So James was exactly right in stating that. In fact, I'd forgotten that text because several months ago now, I preached a message, Beheaded for Christ. And we're witnessing what is taking place, or was taking place in that day, coming to fruition even today. If Islam, when Islam takes control in America, those Marxist media people, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats, those that have embraced from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, all of those freaks will be part of those that will be beheaded and destroyed by the Antichrist during that day, after the church is raptured out. Did that give a little nutshell explanation, Jim?
Yes, sir. It gave a nutshell explanation there. I just wanted to know if it wasn't a stretch to actually correlate that verse, the beheading part, with the actual religion of Islam.
Absolutely.
I completely understand their history, and I know that they are completely incompatible with Western culture.
Jim, this is one little footnote that I'll touch on and let you go.
Yes,
one of the things that you find in history is that what Roman Catholicism was for centuries, wicked, evil, dastardly, and controlling, forced control, we see in Islam continuing to practice today. Perhaps that's the reason we find Islam and Roman Catholicism now embracing the philosophies and the goals for each of them is for global dominance and control. I believe that's taking place. I believe that's the modus operandi without being recognized at all. But Jim, thank you so much for your call, and God
thank
bless you.
You
as we keep
God
looking up.
You.
I believe Brother Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood and gentlemen. I know we put a lot of emphasis on what the Roman Catholic Church has done. I believe whenever God was speaking to the churches in Revelation, that was probably in the 1st and 2nd century, not in the 3rd or 4th or 5th, whenever Roman Catholic Church came into existence. Because he wrote to the church at Corinthians in the 6th chapter, starting with verse 14, if you didn't mind reading that, to give a little explanation on that, to show us and bring us up to date where we are today, because the first church in Revelation said, you have wandered away from your first love, and that's the whole problem with the church today.
Absolutely, and you're precisely right. One of the things, let me back up so that we can tie some loose ends together. Roman Catholicism as a popery system, the popery system did not come into effect as a term, pope, until about the 3rd or 4th century. Roman Catholicism has been in existence for quite some time, even in the 1st century, and it is the apostate church that is spoken of in the last days that we'll see in Revelation the 17th chapter. Roman Catholicism has in its history the Inquisition, where hundreds of thousands were slain, beheaded, crucified, burned at the stake, forcing them to submit to Roman Catholicism. And for centuries, it was simply called Mariology. They, in essence, now I don't care what a Catholic says. They can call it, if you're in a Catholic church, you can call and argue until Jesus comes. The focus is on Mary and worshiping Mary and not Jesus. Jesus is secondary or tertiary, but not foremost. It is worshiping Mary. It's Mariology for years and years and years. And for years, it was called the popery system. In fact, it is one of the most wicked, evil aspects of what would be called modern Christianity. And in the modern age today in America, Roman Catholicism is embraced and caused to look palatable, and it still goes back to the roots of everything that is a disdainful taste for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not a matter within Roman Catholicism, just as with Islam, it is works and not faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So, Brother Davis, you're exactly right. Now, our listeners need to understand the dangerous path we're on as a nation from the standpoint of morals, ethics, and values, and biblical truth. We are jettisoning biblical truth for woke progressivism. And as Franklin Graham said in March 2023 and then again in 25 in Decision Magazine, that progressive Christianity sending people to hell today. And I'm saddened by that, concerned by that, and dogmatically standing against that. But Brother Davis, go ahead.
One other thing is that we go back in that chapter, verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. I tell you, Catholicism is idolatrous worship.
Absolutely. No question about it. And the thing is, Brother Davis, I'm sure we've got a lot of people listening that bristle up with that and think, well, those folks are dogmatic. They just don't know what we're doing. I say to anybody that's listening, if you're following Islam, if you're following any other religions that are fake, phony, false, and aberrant to the Scripture, check up, see if you're saved. Check up, see what the Word of God says in relationship to joining with false teachings or idols and worshiping anything that's not found. It's an impossibility to claim salvation outside of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's an impossibility to say I'm saved and deny the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an impossibility to be saved and say that Jesus Christ is not divine. And the previous pope, in I believe it was March of 2023, said that Jesus Christ is not God, that he is not divine, he is not truly God. Coming from the pope.
I believe the scriptures tell us that those people, he called them heathens because they don't know God.
That's right. You're exactly right. Well, Brother Davis, thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we
God
keep looking
you.
Up.
Thanks.
Dr. Phelps, what say you?
One of the great things I learned from the scriptures, from the study of the scriptures throughout, day after day, is that we need truth in order to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so God employs truth to bring people to believe.
That's right.
It's important to know this, to hear and honor and heed the word of truth is so vitally important for believing Christians today. There are two kinds of Christians today. There are those who profess to be Christians, and there are those who are believing Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And a believing Christian has responded to the hearing of the gospel of Christ, the word of truth, and when a person chooses to receive and believe the word of truth, he is in the process of repenting. Now, I've not read that in any book, but I believe that's a true statement. He's in the process of repenting. Jesus spoke to the unbelieving Jews in his day when they tried to bring reproach upon his name and to call him a liar, Jesus showed them how that they had misplaced their faith. Their faith was in their religion. And many people who belong to the Catholic Church, for example, are worshiping the church, making it a god to them.
That's right.
Rather than the Lord.
Well, in fact, it's believed in Roman Catholicism, unless you're in the right standing in the church,
yes.
Roman Catholic Church, you will not go to heaven.
Yes.
Dr. Davis, let me throw something over at you. The Islamics say that Jesus Christ was not God. They argued that vehemently, that Muhammad did not have a son. He was not even married, and basically laugh at the Christians. They say the Christian Bible is corrupted. It's been corrupted through the centuries and changed and modified, etc. And yet the Quran didn't come into existence until about the first time, about the 8th century and following, quite sometimes after the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inert Word of God. And so therefore the Islamics say that Jesus Christ was not God, he was not divine, in fact he was not crucified, it was a figment of the imagination that was orchestrated by the Christians to make people want to follow Jesus. Now my question, Dr. Davis, if Jesus Christ is not divine, if Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, was buried and resurrected, where does that place Christianity?
Well, well, here's the answer to that. 1 Corinthians 15 started at verse 13, says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." So there's the answer right there, basically. It means that if we don't believe and if we don't practice. Now, here's another thing we need to understand aside from everything we see that's written here. Christianity within itself is really not a religion.
That's right. It's a relationship.
Christianity is a relationship and it's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to world religions, they don't fit in with a Christian-based lifestyle because it's based upon God's written, inspired, revealed Word of God, and it's based on the essence, the very nature of God himself. God is holy, so he wants the followers to be holy. So in order for us to be true Christians, we have to get an understanding of what the true faith really is.
Absolutely.
And what God requires.
Correct. And if the Roman Catholics today, through the papacy system, if they are embracing, and they are, if they are involving Islam in that circle of so-called serving the same God, what would you do? I'm looking at my book, Is Islam Tolerant, page 84. Islam rejects Jesus' sonship. The Quran denies Allah begets or takes to himself any offspring in several places in the Quran. Allah has no son. God does. His name is Jesus Christ. Therefore, if Allah has no son, and the Bible teaches that God has a son, then this is a Quranic verse proof that Allah and God are not the same. And so I'm concerned because, ladies and gentlemen, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you disbelieve in the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, you say he's not God, and as the Islamics say that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, that the Christians just put a lookalike on the cross and then hid him because they wanted the people to believe that he had risen from the grave, if that is the fact, and if Islam and Roman Catholicism now embrace each other and have the compact agree with each other simply because each serve one God, even though it's a diverse God, a different God, not the God of the Bible, how is it possible for the Roman Catholic Church today to be in line with what the Word of God says is necessary and needful for biblical salvation? Dr. Phelps, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, as I just said, is rejected by all Islamic believers. Islam embraces deceit. I have that outlined in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? Islam embraces deceit. That Allah tells the ardent followers of Islam, that's the Muslims, that if you lie in order to make an individual believe your position and bring them into the position of acceptance and embracing of your position, then that's okay. Dr. Phelps, is it okay to lie? What does God's word say about deceit and about lying? I want us to look at the comparison and contrast of who the real God is.
Well, as I read the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the inspired scriptures,
amen,
given to us by God, I learn that lying is sin.
Mm-hmm.
God hates sin. God does not approve of lying. And throughout the scriptures, we're told that God is something, or rather, God is telling us something that about lying. It's the nature of humanity.
Yes.
It's human nature to do that. People do not want to be honest.
Let's go a little
deeper. That's part of human nature, and it must be changed.
Yes.
If a person goes to heaven, for example, and he's not been changed in what we call being born again, become a child of God, then he will pollute heaven. He'll bring dishonesty and lying into heaven. God wants us to be righteous, and that's why God makes us a new creation in Christ, and we become a child of God.
Absolutely. And for the Christian today, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we must by faith receive Jesus Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection, and embrace that as our free gift of eternal life if we say yes. In Islam, and I'm trying to point out the contrast and comparison, if the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope are systems going to embrace Islam, and Islam says the way to paradise, as they would refer, on the way to paradise, you've got to commit murder, you've got to commit jihad, you've got to become a martyr, and in that martyrdom, you're sent to paradise by Allah with 72 virgins for eternity. And that's a total opposition. Everything that is thought about Christianity, it's in total opposition to that and the Word of God. The Bible teaches that we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in works. Christianity is salvation is a free gift. Islam, you must work to commit slaughter, jihad, in order to be found in paradise. Dr. Davis, when we think about that, this Quran and the associated writings of Islam claim that Muhammad was raptured to paradise. He made a night journey to Medina or to Mecca and was lifted up into heaven. Is that a lie? Is it true? Did somebody other than Jesus resurrect into heaven?
Well, how can you trust in a book? Now here, I'm reading from Surah or Quran 1339. It says that the Quran is said to be unchangeable, but Allah removes verses as He pleases.
That's right.
We cannot trust in any of that.
None.
How can you put your faith in something like that, in a God, small g God, that will change the verses and throw you completely off path with the knowledge of the truth, yet claims to be your God?
Absolutely. And the final thought before we go off the air today, in Islam, Muhammad married and said you could have 9 wives. One of his wives is 9 years old. And for Christianity, you'll find that to be aberrant to anything that's called biblical Christianity for morals, values, and ethics. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about First